Welcome to What's Left, a weekly community podcast.
It is a community podcast. Everyone's welcome.
Again. Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Barca with Andy Lipson. Today we will discuss the Mueller testimony before Congress that was had yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Seven hours.
About 7 hours.
Before two different committees.
Yes. Which were the
House Judiciary Committee
and the Intelligence Community.
Correct. Yeah. Or committee. Intelligence.
Maybe the community.
There was very little intelligence in any of those committees.
So we had planned to do, I guess, this thing around impeachment as well, no? Or just focusing on the Mueller testimony?
I think
you can edit this out if you
want. For me, this bears on what's happening here, bears on impeachment, because I think one of the major reasons that this, because both of these committees are controlled by the Democratic Party, and this was seen as,
This is the House of Representatives, for people who don't know.
Yes, and but these are committees, and they're, and this testimony was seen as a way, I think, of jump-starting the impeachment, the possibility of impeachment. It's part of the election cycle. It bears on the 2020 election. It's part of the Democratic Party strategy to jumpstart their campaigns to defeat Trump, defeat Trump at the presidency, and of course to do better at the level of the Senate and continue to keep their majority in Congress.
Yeah, and I think as well as to sort of get the optics on really Mueller's view, because he had already turned in, I think, 4 months ago.
And Attorney General Barr had framed it, and people were saying, oh, that's not the way it should be framed.
Yeah. So anyhow, let's discuss this debacle. This
exactly. It was a debacle. There's so many different ways. and so we had talked about possibly talking about like Eric Garner, because the police that...
Right. We were originally deciding to do Eric
killed him,
Garner.
Right? Yeah. Were let off. And that's a big deal. I think there is something to discuss there, but I just felt like this is, I think there's a lot of implications to this Mueller stuff. They're all bad in my mind, although I think some of them they've gotten me thinking about what do I believe, how things really should go down. And if you were going to take down Trump, how would I want to take down Trump?
Or anyone, I think.
Really, or anyone, who is any politician, you know. I think there's a lot that goes on here. So,
all right. What is your take on it? What is your view on it, Andy?
Do you want to start first?
Mine is quite short. I think that this is something that has been orchestrated by the Democrats because they expected this bombshell, and it was on around collusion, this conspiracy that we had already covered on our previous Russia gate. But I do not feel that there is anything. Well, there are some clarifications, minimal clarifications, I feel. But really, I don't feel that there is much too revelatory, as I should say. There isn't going to be impeachment. I just simply do not feel that there will be an impeachment where the Democrats have left off with this. The House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, does not want it. There is very few support in the Democrats and Republicans to be able to do it, and then still to get through the Senate, which is Republican controlled, and they're not going to do it. And there is very few time left as well. There is just 2020 is next year, and there isn't enough time for an impeachment proceeding, and you have to get the whole nation for this, and everyone has to be into this. And I just don't think that there is enough force, enough oomph. And if there had been some force, it should have already. The momentum is running out for it. And I think that that saying that they want to impeach Trump is really shows people where their positions are. But I don't think the energy to impeach is there. It's just to show people, look, I'm against Trump for like the Democrats, right? Everyone like Senator Warren, is that Kamala Harris,
Bernie Sanders is Russiagate dude. You know, he's like.
I mean, impeachment though, is he? Really
yeah.
For?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So is the squad is for impeachment.
Yes, I know this. Yeah. The squad is definitely for impeachment, and so I feel really it's it's taken a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of oxygen from, for example, Puerto Rico, where, unless you're hearing some alternative news, I don't see it much being covered by the mainstream media. So that is my overall judgment on this. I do think that there are some clarifications, such as when William Barr came out with his, what, 4-page summary. It was, I think, 4-page
I don't know how
summary.
many
I
pages
forget
it
it
is.
was. Well, it was a very short summary, and it was his point of view, political view about it, and it made Trump say constantly in the media that he is exonerated, and it made the Democrats look silly, and they had to swallow a humility pill for it because they were so concentrated on the collusion part, on the conspiracy part. Now the conversation has shifted over to the obstruction part. Now it's the focusing on the second part of the Mueller report, which is the obstruction, which I do think that it was obstruction. I personally do believe that Trump was obstructing, but that is the way he is. He is always trying to undermine anyone else that is against him. I do think that there was obstruction. I kind of think, I think that Trump doesn't realize sometimes when he's speaking, like when he says, "I love WikiLeaks, WikiLeaks, release more," or whatever. I think that in the spur of the moment, I personally, this is my personal belief, I do not believe that Trump is actually trying to intently conspire with WikiLeaks in this moment. I think he says stupid things like that that get him, like, he doesn't realize a lot of things as a person that is running for president at that time. It can legally really backfire for him. Other times, I do think that he's really just trying to, what do you, over, over, what do you call it, when over flood the media stream with just a bunch of things to confuse everyone. It's sort of a way to startle everyone. When you say enough things that sort of are false, mixed in with some truths that make people feel uneasy about who to trust and whatnot, especially when you have someone in this position of power, such as him saying things like his father was born in Germany, and that's a lie, obviously. But I know that Trump knows his father was not born in Germany. I mean, he's talked about it before. Or when he says things like, he is the least racist person ever in the entire world, or the best president in the entire world. I think he says things like this, and he says, "I'm totally exonerated." You know, it just, I think these blanket statements make people, they're just very unthought out. So there could be some obstruction that couldn't, but really, under the legal point of view here, there is obstruction, and I do agree with that part. I was interested in the only clarification that was for me was something that I picked up that was interesting was that he could be charged, could be after his after he leaves office. That was interesting to me. That was the only part I think that he could be charged after he leaves office. But I think there's a limited period of time for how long that could. That's why if he, I think after a second term, the charge against him would be dropped. But if he does not win the second term, then I think that potentially, if anyone would be legally after him, I think that there is a potential to charge him after sitting as president. But currently, as it is now that he is president, this is the one thing I picked up from yesterday, that he could not be charged. Yeah, I feel like, even I was just saying, I don't know if I got in the beginning, I feel sometimes even it doesn't seem like us to even cover something like this. But I kind of feel it is important. I'm somewhat, I think we've covered enough of our positions, but at this point is that I think I would like to hear from your perspective is just in the history of impeachment in general in this country, and just the next steps for activists who are interested really in causing real regimen change in this country. versus trying to vote people out and trying to have proceed these hearings that really will probably go nowhere. So anyhow, this is my take on this shortly, and then I will add and supplement to see what you have to say.
Well, the first thing is that the real whole point of the Mueller investigation was statements of collusion about Russian collusion, basically saying that Trump was a Russian agent. I mean, those were the implications that there were. That was the basis of the investigation.
Well, there were two meetings, right? There were two meetings for two different purposes, and one of the meetings strongly covered the obstruction.
No, that's the whole reason for the Mueller investigation is really one
Oh,
thing.
the entire Mueller
The entire Mueller
investigation.
investigation is about one thing only, really.
Yeah.
It's about this idea of collusion, of the idea that Russia that Trump was almost like a Russian agent, that he was in Putin's hands. That was what was said even,
Yes.
and that honestly, that whole narrative started with the Democratic Party back in the day. That was something that came out of Clinton, the book about Clinton, although it was shattered, where Podesta and somebody else basically said, pretty much right after they had lost the election, we're going to make this thing about Russia hacking into, like, essentially saying that the Russians hacked into our servers and into our accounts, and they gave information to WikiLeaks, and Russia was an agent working with them because Russia wanted him to be elected because he was pro-Russia. And not willing to be anti-Russia enough, which actually, if you listen to him during his campaign, there were reason to believe that, yeah, he was like, we should be going against China. Why are we making enemies with Russia? He was actually saying that. He was actually saying it at some point, even after his election. And I believe one of the successes of the Mueller investigation is they've gotten Trump corralled now to be willing to fight two wars. You now have a president who's willing to fight on two fronts. And in fact, the only thing that really was accomplished this week, because this thing was a fiasco, was the budget I told you about, the $733 billion budget for the military, along with the budget for
Which you
the
didn't send me
general
a
the
link
government
to.
budget. Now that is now a now that's official. They reached an agreement on it. It was $738 billion. They've allowed the government to borrow as much money as they need to, and they've given Trump broad freedom, basically, to use the money in various discretionary ways, including the possibility of funding the wall. So this was all reached in again. So while this show has been going on, this Mueller show of fighting Trump, the resistance, and that's what this was, and it was an awful show. It was a very poor showing on the part of anybody who they say there is a resistance, but they're not. This offered absolutely no resistance to what Trump is trying to do because you have two parties here. And now, obviously, in terms of the election, I think this is very bad for the Democrats. But in terms of the ruling class and its aims in this country, this was a slam dunk for them. What they were able to do was basically, we now all agree that Russia conspired to that was the single narrative that Mueller did say. This is beyond a doubt, Russia was trying to involve itself in our elections. Democrats agree with that. Mueller agrees with that. The Republicans agree with that. And what is the outcome of that? The outcome of has been Democratic the first of all, the Democrats and their actual illegality that they did during their own elections and primaries with around Bernie and that, all that is swept under the rug. And now the Department of Homeland Security gaining control over the election apparatus, that's all happened. All that stuff about fake news, which is really about Russia going after our elections, all that fake news and use and control of the internet, that's all done. The left is now the best friend of the FBI because the FBI is seen as the protector of the U.S. infrastructure, as well as Department of Homeland Security. So
The
now that's
Pentagon.
the Pentagon is actually, and the Pentagon has now been funded to a record level, $738 billion, to go fight a war against China and Russia. And of course, Trump has been corralled, and so Trump has been going after Ukraine, going after Iran. He was very critical of the. He pulled out of the intermediate nuclear agreement, right? And there's a new Cold War going on, a very dangerous new Cold War. So congratulations, Democrats. Congratulations, liberals. Congratulations, Deep State. You have a war-making country on that's never happened before, like on a level that's never happened before, and at a very dangerous time in history. So I think That is what has been accomplished by the Mueller investigation. It has once again gotten us to all cheer and try to find, like, one side will say, oh, I'm going to defend Trump, you know. And it, of course, Mueller did a horrible job going after Trump, really. And that's not really ultimately what he's trying to do. He's trying to corral Trump. That's already been, that's already happened. And the Democrats look extremely weak going into the election. I think this was, in terms of electioneering, the Democrats lost. In terms of the ruling class gaining control of the working class in this country, and getting us, like I told you last week, immigration is going to be off the table. We're not hearing about immigration anymore. Now it's all Mueller. Now it's all impeachment. Now it's all this. What the ruling class has been able to do is kind of like, the analogy I have is when you watch little children play soccer, they all run around the ball. And wherever the ball goes, they chase it. That's not how you're supposed to play soccer. When you grow up, you need to hold your positions. Defense needs to be over here. Midfield here. Midfield moves back and forth, and offense stays here. What they've gotten us to do is be like little children on a soccer field. The left and the right, the entire working class, now chases the ball wherever the mainstream media takes us. And we're doing that. And that's what they've been able to accomplish here, as well as get us to applaud our own security apparatus controlling us more through the internet, through the fact that they're eliminating left-wing voices like WikiLeaks and right-wing voices. You know, name them all, but basically they're trying to knock out the extremes, all under the idea of fighting fake news, all under the idea of fighting Russia bots and things like this.
Even corporations like YouTube.
Yes, right. So, and they're all, you know, say that they're fighting extremism, but what they're really doing is censorship. And we have largely, and particularly the left, which is supposed to fight for an alternative to all this, and is definitely not supposed to be a cheerleader for the security state. The left has become a cheerleader for the security state, and this is so. This has been an absolute disaster for the left. Not in the disaster in terms of fighting Trump at the election. That Trump's going to win. I can see that now. You know, but the fact is, the reason it's a disaster is there is no independent working class voice calling for an alternative to all of this, And I think this does bear on the notion of impeachment, because that's the strategy. The strategy isn't really to impeach Trump, but to embroil Trump in a swamp during the course of the election so that he'll seem weakened, he'll seem vulnerable, he'll seem like an embattled president through an impeachment-like process. Mm-hmm. But the Democrats have not even been able to do that. This whole fiasco is a disaster for the left again. It's a giant win. It's a slam dunk for the ruling class. It's kind of a mini disaster for the Democrats because I think it shows how weak they are running into the elections. And I think it shows that I think that it's just another indication that shows they're going to lose. But I will say, and this is where, I could go on about impeachment and Puerto Rico because I think. At this very same time, like literally today, on the same day that these so-called proceedings, which are supposed to lead to impeachment, are proceeding, you actually are watching a governor in Puerto Rico get taken down, in some ways by the people, but you're also getting to watch the results of impeachment. And I think if you're a leftist, if you want change in this country, you do not want to take your president or governor down by impeachment. And Puerto Rico is a lesson on that. I can say more about that, but the way you want to take down your governor and the way that you want to take down your president, if you want your movement to thrive and grow and you want to build that real alternative, and I think it needs to be a revolutionary movement, it's going to look very different than impeachment. Impeachment is a ruling class strategy for removing presidents that are no longer useful for all sorts of reasons. In fact, the governor of Puerto Rico, in literally days, they were writing up, as things got more and more pitched for him, they were literally coming up with impeachment within his own party, drawing up impeachment letters for saying, you've got to resign or we're going to impeach you. Because they knew they got to replace him because this guy is now, he's a dead turkey up there because of he's been exposed, these letters that he wrote to people.
His messages
that were so demeaning to his own people showed how he's trying to privatize. This guy is a Democrat. This governor is a Democrat. He'd been to the DNC in 2008. He was a supporter of Obama in 2012. It's interesting that what's even happening in Puerto Rico shows the limits of impeachment, because impeachment is now going to be used to remove that governor, put a new governor in place who's part of the same party, the New Progressive Party. She herself has been involved, this woman has been implicated in schemes to get rich during, like, to get her people, family members rich during the recovery of Hurricane Irwin and Hurricane Maria, I think it is. The two,
I don't know,
yeah, I think those
specific
are names. But these hurricanes that devastated Puerto Rico. Again, and this is the reason this guy's going down, is because he also helped the privatizers, and the U.S. helped him help the privatizers, because they formed a board with people that Obama put in power to basically push for selling off all these destroyed properties and letting investors, you know, build nice stuff up there.
Are you talking about Andonacol Promesa?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
So there's more to say about that, but that's the first thing that I would say, is that impeachment strategy is a ruling class strategy. In order to impeach in this country, it's not like the people have to make it happen. It's Congress has to first agree to it, then the Judiciary House then meets separately and says, okay, we've heard what you had to say, but before we're even willing to hear this, we're going to discuss it. Then once Congress gets a majority for impeachment, if it does, then it goes to the Senate. The Senate, again, is like, that's a very ruling class body. And then the Senate has to get a 66% agreement through a trial that is overseen by the Supreme Court justice, you know, during it. The impeachment process is clearly just a way for the ruling class to, if there's pressure from below, to deflect that pressure and get rid of somebody who's an obstacle, or really to overturn, like, a democratically elected president who they don't think can work. What are the three reasons you can get impeached? Treason, bribery, and high crimes and misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. Now, if bribery is a reason for impeachment...
In this country. All right.
If bribery is a reason for impeachment, every president should have been impeached. I'm just going to say it right now. Not a single... How many presidents have we had? 59? Every president... Maybe Thomas Jefferson, maybe George Washington wasn't up for bribery. But in the last 100 years, 150 years, every one of those presidents should have been impeached. They've all taken bribe. They're all in it for just only the money, all right? So all of them. But the reason everyone gets high crimes and misdemeanors is because it's a political thing that basically says, well, we don't really have a reason for doing it, but if we think you're a problem, you're going. And this is how it went after Clinton. This is largely how it went after Nixon. And that did not help the movement. Once Nixon went, the movement went into the tank, actually. And because there was no alternative. The Democrats were alternative. Ford was up there. He pardoned Nixon. You get Jimmy Carter. The left goes behind Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter goes after the labor movement, going after Taft-Hartley. And puts and basically says you can't support the miner strikes. And, you know, also other sorts of things that Jimmy Carter had done that helped destroy the left. Mm-hmm. If you want to take down a president, here's how you do it. You go up to the White House with your...
I just want to ask a question. I believe no one has been impeached.
Right.
Yes? I mean, there has been pressure.
Correct.
And there has been impeachment proceedings.
Andrew,
no one has been impeached.
Andrew Johnson, who was right after Lincoln, he was one vote short in the Senate.
All right.
He was impeached, but then they had the trial in the Senate. He fell one vote short of them agreeing to the impeachment proceedings.
I see.
Bill Clinton fell even more short. He was impeached. That is, it's like an indictment. Impeachment mm-hmm. is like an indictment. But he fell short in the Senate for that. Richard Nixon didn't even get to the point of impeachment. But since the impeachment proceedings were actually supported by his own party, members of his own party wanted him gone, he was like, he knew. He saw the writing on the wall. He was not only going to be impeached, he was going to be tried and canned, you know, mm-hmm. and the impeachment doesn't mean you get arrested. It just means you get thrown out. Mm-hmm. It's like a soft coup. That's what impeachment is. So it is a ruling class way of making change in the context of political pressures coming from above or coming from below. Mm-hmm. And if the way we want to get rid of presidents is not through impeachment, you want to go up to the gates of the White House. With your march, your people there, you want to go in there and say, give us your president, give us Trump, give us Pence. we want them arrested. We're going to put them in a people's tribunal and then try them and then do whatever we need to do.
Like Sudan.
Right. And then the army's supposed to come out and either stop you, right? And that's when the president brings his army out. And at that point, if the army doesn't stop them, you roll in and you do that. And that's where you have an uprising, right? That's the way you want to take out your president. And you want your army to basically be in, no, you're our people's army. Get out of the way. We're going to take this guy down. If you let them do the process, if you let impeachment do the process, like they're doing in Puerto Rico, it just gives them more time to breathe. And that's what's going to happen in Puerto Rico. There were demonstrations of 500,000 to 1 million. It's estimated 16 to 30% of the people in Puerto Rico were in the streets. And now that's all going to start to go away now that you've gotten rid of one crook and put a new crook in there. Mm-hmm. And that's the role of impeachment. Impeachment's role is to deflate that anger and to redirect it behind new ruling class pathways. And that's what's going to happen in Puerto Rico. That's why impeachment is not a strategy for us. It's a Democratic Party strategy. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a ruling class strategy, but it has nothing to offer us. We want to take down Trump by going into the White House, breaking through the barriers that the police might put up or the military might put up, having the military come to our side. We want to grab him, pull him out, you're under arrest. And we also have to change the system. Because if you just get rid of one person, don't change the system, you're just going to put some other new person up there and you're going to have the same problems again. That's how we want to get rid of Trump. You get rid of Trump any other way, your movement goes into the tank.
But you're describing something as what Sudan is going through.
Closer to that.
But although they are having difficulties, right, because the military has backlashed.
Right.
And decided to kill and rape a lot of their own people.
Right.
And
right.
They've had to come to the truths,
right,
essentially.
Yes. But again,
what if that happened? Do you see where that, I mean, an example is happening right before us?
They've been
demanding for the military there has to be civilian-led rules and everything.
And this is why the people need to be armed. You can't just leave it up to the military to be on your side. People need to be armed. We need to be organized. It needs to be within the working class too. There need to be strikes that shut down whole cities. Like, this is a revolution, and you can either have the violence be done against Afghanistan. Like, what did Trump just say the other day? Trump said, "I have a plan for stopping the war in Afghanistan." You heard about this, right? We could have killed 10 million people in a week and then it's done, right? And General McCaffrey came out and said, "Hey, don't say that. Don't tell them that we actually have that kind of plan. What are you doing?" Right? And then later on he said, "Oh, we don't have that kind of plan." So these people they actually know how to kill on a massive scale and do so all the time. If we're going to stop that, we're going to have to bring the violence into our, like, it's going to come into our own country. If they're willing to do that kind of violence to people in Afghanistan or people in Iraq, they're willing to do it to us. If they're willing to do it to immigrants, if they're willing to do it to people in prison, they're willing to do it to us. That's the case. If you're going to stop them, you have to be stronger than them. But that's what it means to stop them. You can't stop them through voting, because all you get is Biden doing the thing instead. You get Kamala Harris doing it instead. Because they've already agreed, the Democrats have already agreed to all this nonsense. Your squad doesn't talk squat about what just happened what's happened in Puerto Rico. They're not telling us about that. They're not telling us that's the way this should be going down, and worse, right? The squad is not telling us that the Democrats and the Republicans have already agreed to a $738 billion military thing to fight two wars at once. They're not telling us that, because they both plan on doing it. So you want to stop that, you need to have a revolution in this country. You want to have a revolution, you need to be prepared for reality. That's what it means. If anybody else who's saying less than that isn't serious about making that kind of change. And yes, there's the possibility of violence. That's why we need to be armed.
Yeah, let me try to digest what you're saying.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm going to sound repetitive. The reason why I want to is because I think I'm going through a process right now where I'm thinking I would definitely not want to pick up an arm, and I have hesitations about violence. But if I look at what is happening in Sudan, that really makes me angry, and it really makes me upset that they did oust al-Bashir.
Right,
they did oust many people in that clan.
But you have to change the system too.
And right, and we did discuss this last time. And where I guess it's not so much right now that I'm interested in Well, I am. I think it's important that you have to do. You have to change the system. Yes, I
Right.
agree. But it's more that what you described is what you said, almost what Sudan had done,
Yes,
and the
that is.
military is confronted. But the military, in this case with Sudan, real life example happening at this moment in real time, they are not willing to concede to a
Correct.
civilian-led government. Even if we may not agree with that, the way that government may be, it's still demand their demand of how they should figure that out. But the military does not want to concede power to them. And I think, which I think I had read, I had listened to an analysis, is that that would then implicate a lot of people within the military government for what they had done as military crimes, and they would not turn against their own.
Right. But do you see how such a conflict in this country would stop our country, would stop our government from doing all the things it's doing across the globe? Do you see how it would, if our own government had to contend with an uprising of that, at least of that sort, and that's not a socialist revolution. They're not having a socialist revolution today. We need to have a socialist revolution. Armed workers occupying their own work sites and then using that to construct a council of workers who run society in a new way. But
The
they were former
recipe
Soviets.
you gave just earlier
Yes. And
was the basic elements of just
that's what it would need to look
what Sudan had done.
no, because it doesn't have workers' councils, it doesn't have dual power, it doesn't have alternative, it doesn't,
So it's
it's
not
not
just
rooted
an
in.
uprising. I guess my question is, well, I guess I when you first said that the best way to is not to impeach a president, but for people to go out into the streets and demand to give them Trump and Pence in this situation, no, but
In every
in
situation,
any,
ultimately, whether it was the '70s or the 2000, whatever.
right. I guess you just missed the piece that there had needed to be workers' councils,
Yeah,
right?
I mean, let's be clear. Like the last act of the formation of the socialist revolution that was established in Russia, its last act was removing the president at the time, who was a socialist, Kautsky. There had been eight from February to October, but 7 or 8 months. Where workers' councils actually existed, but
Prior
didn't
to
prior to that,
ousting,
prior to the
I
ousting.
see. And what I was trying to say is that what you had described at first, you had just said that their demand might Pence in this situation, right? Not right, because we're
Right.
currently under this system,
Right.
under this president and Mike Pence. So demand Mike Pence, Trump, and then you might even run into the military, right? But you had missed this element. And I suppose what I'm asking for are just the ingredients for a revolution.
Yeah. And look, we can have an uprising in this country, but all we would be doing, but if we just change the characters, even if we put Bernie Sanders up there, even if we put Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, even if you put you up there or me up there, and we keep the system in place, you're getting again at the same old crap. I'm sorry, that's the way it's going to work. If you don't actually build an alternative system to remove the profit system, to take that out of the, and that's only going to be done by a new organization of workers running things democratically in their own workplaces, and then seeing the need to politically project themselves in such a way that they must take presidents, mayors, and governors out of power and put in their own people, not as mayors and presidents, but destroying that apparatus altogether. Like you have to get rid of the president of the United States, not Trump or Obama, but the actual position. That position's gone. Like you have to have a new government built, a workers' government, and that no longer needs a Congress or a mayor's office or a board of ed or a board of supervisors. New political systems are going to have to be built that are rooted ultimately in the workplace, which is what the Soviets really were.
Prior to ousting
Prior,
anyone
yeah,
from power
exactly,
in the moment.
yeah. The last act of that will be taking all those characters out of power,
You
right?
were mentioning someone in history from Russia.
The Kerensky, who was a socialist who was trying to oversee this new provisional government, which was a revolutionary government, gotten rid of the czar, right? You had kind of a parliament running things, but it was still a bourgeois government, a capitalist government, and they were still going to continue with the war, continue with privations for people, and making it so that people on the countryside couldn't run their farms the way they wanted to. And still uphold the wealthy landowners over the poor landowners and the poor farmers. So sorry, that if that was going to change, there was going to need to be a socialist revolution. And if the socialist revolution was going to hold itself in Russia, it was going to need to expand internationally. Go to Germany, go to Hungary, go to Austria, go to Britain. It was going to have to do that. It went forward in Russia. Its last act was the act of insurrection. So if we think that we're just going to, like, first of all, if you really want the people to get rid of Trump, it will have to look like an insurrection. It will have to look like an uprising. If you let them do it through impeachment, it just means changing the deck chairs, and all they're trying to do is buy time before they squash your movement. That's what that means. So impeachment is not the way we want. Impeachment is not the way the left wants to do this. I don't know about the right. I don't speak for the right, but it's not the way the left wants to do it. And if they think they want to use impeachment, then you're just playing to the hands of the capitalists. But if you think what it looks like is closer to Puerto Rico, but that's our last act, not our first act. We need to build structures. We need to build strike structures in which workers can defend themselves and project their own might and control their own
Potentially
cities.
a guerrilla movement?
A what?
Guerrilla movement?
Well, no, I don't. I would say armed workers, which is different than a guerrilla movement. A guerrilla movement is like we go to the countryside and we fight it out from the countryside into the cities and essentially militarily maybe defeat our military. No, that wouldn't. I don't think that works. It's actually an urban movement of control. It's kind of like what we talked about in Seattle, but it has to not last for 4 days. It has to not just last 4 months, it has to grow over those 4 months. That's really what happened. The system of the Soviets expanded. It expanded from Soviets forming just in Petrograd, one city, to other cities. It expanded so Soviets formed in the countryside, Soviets formed in the military, where people were no longer just having, oh, you're not a general for me. We're going to elect our officers. And if we don't like what officers are telling us, no. If officers try to execute us for not fighting against Germany, we're taking them out. We're removing them. So all of that whole system of election was dissolving the current capitalist armies. The capitalist it was competing with the capitalist the new capitalist structures that were coming into play in terms of the provisional government. And this was called dual power. That's the way this is going to have to go down. Clearly, we are not there, and that is what is most distressing for me about this Mueller thing, is it is the working class literally following by the nose everything the ruling class tells us. So we're not even close. Like, we're not even close to having the kind of uprising that we would need to have that people say they want. But if we did have that kind of uprising, it's not going to be impeachment. It's going to be people pulling the president out of office and arresting them. That's what they really are saying you want. But if you do that, you're not really going to get the change you want. But that actually is at least change that represents change from below. Because if you let the capitalists do it, it's going to look like Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico is going to have 16% to 30% of the people who are ready to go out in the streets and stop the privatizers. Well, guess what? Now you're going to have a woman privatizing your shit for you. Because they just got rid of the other guy. And once they get rid of her, if they don't like, then they'll find somebody else to do it. Because ultimately, it's the US driving this through. That's why you need to have a socialist revolution in Puerto Rico, and the revolution has to expand from there. And it can't be a socialist revolution unless it poses itself as a new institutions of power. And none of that exists. That doesn't exist in the Sudan, it doesn't exist in Puerto Rico, and it's certainly, and look, we're farthest from it in the United States. We can talk about the red wave, but we are so far away from that. And our left is really captured by the Democratic Party. It's a dreadful situation in this country. We have nothing independent, and the ruling class has every reason to be confident that they are going to be able to get their way with us, even if they replace Trump. And we're not even going to get a replacement from Trump. So, and Biden and Kamala Harris isn't really a replacement, not a working class replacement. They're a capitalist replacement. And this is why I'm so upset about the Squad, is because the Squad is there to keep us from knowing that there's an alternative. They're not. You can notice the Squad is not telling us about Puerto Rico. The Squad is not telling us what the Democrats just agreed to. The Squad is not telling us that impeachment is a joke and it's not going to really give you what you want. That's what the left should be telling us. The Squad is telling us impeach, MF, right? That one woman said, "Oh, I'm going to preach that MF," thinking that's a tough statement. No, it's impeachment here is a capitalist switching of the deck chairs.
Rashida Tlaib, you're
Rashida
talking
Tlaib,
about.
yeah, who said from 15 to 20, and I agree. Go 15 to 20. Go from 20 to 30 dollars per hour. I mean, yeah, for minimum wage. So, and I think it's really worth us meditating right now about how disastrous this Mueller testimony is, in that it's got everyone looking at it, everyone thinking that something's important, everyone looking at Democrats. This is a disaster. Like, let's be clear. That situation, and it's so good for the capitalists to have this situation. Like, I don't think you can overstate how much they must be smiling to have this duality, a fake duality, a fake options in front of us, and having all of us just run around and chase either Republican or Democrat, whether it be the left wing of the Democratic Party in Bernie Sanders, or the far right with Rand Paul and people like that. It's great for them. And frankly, Trump has dissolved the Tea Party, so the Tea Party is now dissolved in the Republican Party. So now you're either a Republican or a Democrat. And if you're not them, you're out of politics altogether. And if you were out of politics, if you didn't call yourself a Republican and you didn't call yourself a Democrat, you got nothing. That's my situation. I got nothing. There's nothing for me to look at other than history. And it's a disaster. So a revolution is so necessary. There is going to be a war between Russia and the United States. Russia is building hypersonic weapons to fly faster than the anti-ballistic missile defense that the U.S. has built and put around Russia can go after them. So now Russia feels like, okay, no, you don't have a first strike capability anymore. So everyone knows it's on. And this is what they're preparing for. This is the ruling class. This is what Russiagate is really about. Let's go to war with these MFs.
Corralling us to be cheerleaders.
Exactly.
For the Pentagon's desire to go against.
And the left is on the front of that. How disastrous is that? That the right is actually behind the left. They're behind us on cheering for war. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I do. I don't know if they're more so than the right.
They are. That's how they're going after going after Trump for not going after.
They're resentful that they didn't get someone, so they're finding some
not
escape.
Resentful. They are saying, what the hell were you trying to do with Putin? Trying to make friends with that guy? We know you think that's your imperial plan. No way. And they dragged him down. They put his hand in his own shit, smacked his nose with a newspaper, and now he says, yes, I'll do what you say. That's what happened. And that's the Democrats. The Democrats got it. That's the neoliberals.
I agree. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's the more so than the right. It seems like it has, the discourse has shifted that, yes, the right sees Russia less threatening these days. Yes.
And the left is the one pushing for war with, and for a more warlike posture with Russia.
Maybe.
For a more thorough and vigorous security apparatus to make sure Russia doesn't get into our elections. When in fact, our elections are so fully controlled. We have 52 electoral college people who represent 250 million people. That's 50 million person per electoral college. We don't have freedom in this country. We don't have elections of any meaningful sense. And they're controlling it more with these with these electronic apparatuses. And now it's all Department of Homeland Security. It's a wrap. It was a wrap before. And they've got even a tighter control over it now, led by the Democratic Party.
But the Republicans have made, I will say where things are, the Republicans have made voting hard for people.
Yeah.
Whether we think voting is effective or not,
right.
I'm just talking about
gerrymandering.
Yes, and making it very hard with ID laws, as
for
well
people
as
if you're in prison.
Convicted for right. things.
Immigrants, right?
Yes.
So I'm just saying that
yeah.
you're talking about a Democratic Party that's literally leading the charge to say, FBI, save us. What does that mean?
Yes.
That's disaster. And the left is inside Democratic Party saying they're doing something.
I agree with this, yes, because even when Trump was saying that he doesn't have to report anything to the FBI, the Democrats were on top of it and
right.
even made the Republicans feel uneasy with those comments. So
yeah.
they had to back some of the Democrats saying that you have to trust the FBI because... You know, Trump leaves, the FBI is still their power.
Right.
So it's still...
That's the deep state right there.
You have to still be in connection with the FBI, whether you're with Trump or not, because he's only a max 8 years.
Right.
You have to
right.
continue the friendship with the FBI,
and,
as well as with Trump.
And the left should know better with COINTELPRO, with the with the Red Scare, with McCarthyism. The history of oppression in the country against radicals should be like, what are we doing there? And we're falling exactly into the trap that they want us to, which is diving into the party of the party for imperialism, the party for security state, the party for internet censorship. We're the one, like the left is dove into that party headlong. And that's a disaster.
Yeah. And I think I wanted to as well add that it isn't, I personally don't think that this truth that the Republicans and the Democrats have made after the 1970s, after Watergate, to find or to appoint a special counsel, which is an independent counsel, isn't, this was done after the 1970s of the Watergate era. This truth between the Democrats and Republicans, any time that there has been, for example, the Contra scandal, the Iran Contra scandals under the Reagan administration, the Republicans thought that the independent counsel for that was overzealous. Mm. When the independent counsel under the attempt of impeachment towards Clinton, many of the Democrats as well thought the independent counsel was overzealous. And here we have the shift again. So it's Republican, Democrat, Republican. It's every one of them will say it is overzealous for how it's an attack, an assault, and in this case, a witch hunt against the opposite party. It's not really effective, is what I'm trying to say. It's just more so a way for them to try to, it's just all kinds of problems, I think, that there are within this independent council, which I really do think that there should be something outside of these Democrat and Republican truths and really appointed by the people, such as a vote. I know we're not talking about whether we agree with the system or not, but I'm just saying if you're going to have a system, just like when we discussed with the Supreme Court justices, they should be voted in, or even voted for or democratically elect someone that is in the special counsel. This is even when you have a Republican like Mueller, is still not favorably towards the Republicans. They don't like him. So I think that just to give context to people about how the special counsel had come about in this country for how when you have an attempt for impeachment is, I thought I'd share that bit of information.
It was this fiction of an independent, somebody independent of the Republicans, somebody independent of the Democrats, somebody politically independent. That's a myth, and that's a complete fantasy. They're not going to ever be independent. All these actions of impeachment, moves and counter moves done at the top of society, all of these things are either to derail movements from below or have out fights from above that we don't have any real interest in, because whoever wins at the if the capitalist state stays in power, the working class will always lose.
There is one thing I want to get clear with you, and that is, I'm not sure if this is something you want to add or not, but you keep talking about how the squad is not mentioning Puerto Rico or it's not mentioning ICE anymore and stuff. I have some question about that, Andy, and you can choose to keep this or not. When you say that, Andy, that confuses me at least, because I think, here, let me try to frame my question so you understand me.
Yeah.
It's like people could say we're not discussing immigration right now. Obviously, we're not discussing immigration right now because we're discussing this. We can't possibly discuss everything at every moment all the time. It's not possible. So I don't think that Puerto Rico is not important for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I think she's focused right now on this specific thing that she is doing right now, which is, you know, whatever her duty is at Congress at this moment, and then, you know, she'll have to come back to that. Or, you know, there's a lot to do, right? And there's a lot we have to cover as only once a week, but we can't cover everything, and we have to pick and choose. And I guess people could say the same thing. Look at that, what's left. They're not covering the Eric Garner thing, or they're not covering because they're discussing Mueller or whatever, or they're not covering Iran anymore. Look at them. No, I think that sometimes we're just jumping and we'll get to it, but it's ongoing. And I think that your accusation of Democracy Now as well, when you say that they're not covering, are they talking about it? Did they talk about this before? Well, they ongoingly cover things, but they jump, 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 and it comes as it comes. But I'm not sure if I want to point fingers at people for not covering something because they're focused on one topic at the moment and they'll get back to the other topic, which you have said Democracy Now.
Is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashid Tlaib, are they revolutionary socialists?
No, I agree with this.
No, they are socialists. Okay,
they're democratic socialists, which is a distinction.
But they believe they're fighting for a different sort of society, right?
They believe so. Yes.
Yeah, right. And they believe that they're trying to win people to this kind of socialism. This kind of new system.
To Marxism.
I don't know.
I don't think that they're trying to win over people to Marxism. Well, I think they're trying to win over to the DSA.
Okay. So whatever that is, and I'm saying, and we talked about how revolutionaries, if they were in parliament, if they were in Congress, how they would operate as revolutionaries within that.
Yes.
It doesn't look anything like what Ocasio-Cortez and Rashid Tlaib are.
But
doing.
I don't think it's fair for you to say that she is not discussing Puerto Rico if she is doing she's busy at the moment doing something else.
I'm not.
I think she will bring it up, and I think she has a connection to it because she's
She supports impeachment. So why is she even talking about impeachment when she knows impeachment is changing? She knows that's changing the deck chairs. She knows, why are we even doing this? Why isn't she saying, what are you all doing with this Mueller fool? Why is the Democratic Party even wasting their time with Mueller when people in Puerto Rico have shown...
Because she's working under this system.
Not just working, but she's working within that party. She's not just working in the system, she's working in that party. She is with them before she's with socialism. That's why. And she's not a reporter. I know why Democracy Now! follows things the way they do and does it there. Because they're liberals and they tail the Democrats. But they're not politically in power. So don't treat Ocasio-Cortez like media. They're a different thing. Okay? Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, these are so-called socialists who are more dedicated to maintaining their position with the Democratic Party than they are to their beliefs.
So, because they're not talking about this week, about Puerto Rico?
Because that is the best way to expose to working people, this is how it has to go down.
I don't think that they are intentionally trying to cover up something.
It's happening, right? But they did it with the... No, it's not... they're not talking about it. We saw it with the French and the yellow vests, and now we're seeing it again in Puerto Rico. I don't know jack squat, and I know to bring up Puerto Rico right now, because at the very same day... when you are having a Mueller committee thing, which for the Democratic Party is about impeachment, you are watching a governor get impeached or being threatened with impeachment and being taken out in Puerto Rico, in the United States. It's a colony of the United States or whatever, a province. And you're telling me, and she's Puerto Rican, you're telling me she's like, hey, everyone, don't even pay attention to Mueller. Don't pay attention to Trump. Everyone should watch Puerto Rico, what's going on there. This is the way it has to go down in this country.
I don't think she would say something.
Why
like
not?
That. Because she believes in this system.
Well, then I'm. Then
so she believes in the process.
And she's lying to herself and lying to the rest of us. Then she's hurting us.
I believe she's a reformist. And I believe that she is trying to work within a system that ultimately is not going to.
I'm just saying.
But I don't think that she thinks like you, though, Andy. I don't believe that she believes in socialism in a Marxist traditional way.
She doesn't believe in socialism. But she believes in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, she believes in a European style.
She believes in capitalism.
Yes, okay. She does.
So then stop saying socialism. That's what I would say. And
you said it.
No, but what? Democratic Socialist of America. Yeah. She talks about how she's a socialist.
Yes.
She taught, and it's fake. And unfortunately, it hurts our cause. You know, and it's a disaster for us. And so, yes, I'm going to call her out because even from her own reformist mind, she could be saying these sorts of things to tickle the nose of the Democratic Party, and she's not even willing to do that. And she's smart. She, like, the right accuses her of being not smart, and that's bullshit. She's very smart, and I see how she tweet for tweet with Donald Trump. She knows what she's doing.
No, she's quick. She's quick. She's got that.
Well, then she knows how to go after the Democratic Party. She's choosing not to because she's fallen into Russiagate. She's trying to get us behind the security apparatus. She's no critical of that. She's not for open borders. She's for concentration camps, just nicer ones. That's your Ocasio-Cortez. That's your squad. The people who want nicer concentration camps. Good luck with that.
Well, I guess I'm not in disagreement with that. I think that all
You
of
want
this,
nicer? Oh, okay.
I'm not in disagreement with you what you're saying that about AOC. What I guess I'm trying to say is just that I don't think that she is. You paint her as if she is trying to intentionally mind
I take her as smart.
planning this
I don't take
way.
her.
She's not mentioning
You
Puerto
act like
Rico,
she's
like.
being played by somebody else. She's not. She's smart. She knows what she's doing. Why do you think that she's just somebody helpless before the Democratic
I
Party?
didn't say she is
Well, I'm not
helpless.
saying. I'm saying she's an active actor. She knows what she's doing, and we can see her doing it. So I take her at her word. Why don't you take her at her word? She's doing exactly what she wants. So, no, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, got to give her credit for being super smart political. But watch what she's not doing. She's not talking about the movement on the ground. It's the second time now. This is the second time she's done that. Massive movement in France. Massive movement in Puerto Rico. Ocasio-Cortez, mum. At the very same time we're talking about
So
impeachment.
should we be judged for what we're not doing as well?
Well,
We're not doing a lot of
yes,
things. We can't cover
if I was a
everything.
congressperson and I wasn't saying it, then you can call me a fraud. Exactly. At that moment, you can call me a fraud. If you're going to play that game up there, and I don't mean play as in a play, but if you're going to run with the big dogs, then you've got to be, and you're going to fight for the cause doing it, you've got to be prepared to say the things that are actually going to get us to get to that cause. And if you don't, you're hurting us. You're betraying the cause, and that's what you're doing. And I don't think she's just a sucker. She is smart. She's a smart person. And I think she knows what she's doing, and I'm against what she's doing because she's trying to fool us.
I don't think she believes in the cause of socialism, though.
Well, then why does she call herself a socialist? You think she doesn't really, you don't take her seriously. I take her more seriously than you.
You're hilarious. This is what Brandy puts up with every day.
Brandy was saying, Andy, are you going to get upset again? Apparently, I am.
No, I don't.
She was like, no, the last two episodes, she was like, you've been getting a little bit animated. And I was like, ah, fuck. So she obviously likes you. She feels like, Andy, you got to just chill out. So.
No, because you say things that are hilarious. In the last episode, you said, they're your
Squad,
squad.
you love them.
Like, I'm Charlie, they're my Charlie's
Yes,
Angels or
they're not.
something. And then this
Yes,
time,
and
you're
Charlie's
telling me,
Angels
like, I take her more seriously than you do.
are just cops, women cops. Great, you like women cops.
Ah, yes, yeah. All right. Well, I guess I'm being repetitive here. I'm just going to say, I agree that I do not agree with her position, with her trying to work within a system that's ultimately broken, and you cannot win. You're going to lose. It's a lose-lose system. If you're not rich and if you don't have power in the senses, cozy up with people who are in power. But I do think she is coming from a genuine point of view. But I do acknowledge that she is a capitalist. And I am ultimately against that. I like her because she's nice and funny. But I'm not in, we're not aligned with our esteem. We're not aligned with our
If we are lucky, we will someday see
politics.
real men and women revolutionaries, and they're not going to sound like any of these people that we're seeing right now.
Yes, I agree. And
If
I
we're lucky.
agree.
But and then there they have been in, like, Rosa Luxemburg, Emma Goldman, they have existed and as females and males, but we don't have them right now. They don't exist in any meaningful sense. There's no movement around which to rally them. Around which they would rally and lead. Everything is captured by the Democratic Party ultimately, or people are just like out of politics altogether. And so I hope one day we need better leaders, revolutionary leaders.
Yeah, ultimately, if you are wanting to fight against or do something around whatever climate disaster, I'll say, for both of us to concede to one. Check out our climate change
Yes.
video. The climate disaster that or Earth
Environmental
disaster,
disaster.
environmental disaster, or if you're even the humanitarian crisis that happened around borders
On the
around the
borders,
world,
immigration, yes.
anything you have
Or a prison
really
system.
anti-capitalism
Yes.
is you have to be an anti-capitalist, really, because it's all about profits in the system. So I do agree. Like I said, I don't agree with their politics, with the squad's politics. I don't agree with people who are trying to run and change things within the system. It's not going to work. So I am in agreement with that. All I'm just saying is I sometimes feel sometimes you get a little bit of a, like, you are, what do you call it, Andy?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm totally
you
reasonable.
Trying to like read their minds when you don't even know.
I'm taking them at their word. Okay. I'm not reading their minds. You're reading their minds. I'm taking them at their word.
Okay. Enough said.
Yes.
All right.
I think that's is that our episode today then? Do you have anything more to say about?
I don't. I don't. I think the oxygen has been taken.
Yes.
From not only with us, we've also been influenced by it.
Yeah.
But we have a different take on it.
Yeah.
But I think that the oxygen, I think, from just the sentiment in this country around the Mueller thing, Mueller testimony, is taking a lot of energy.
Yeah, and the good news is this is the last we'll have to see of Mueller, at least. But it's not the last we're going to hear about Russia.
He's interested in his retirement.
Yeah. So, next week, we
do
don't
you have your.
It your, might be Eric Garner.
Well, you don't want to have. You don't want to invite.
Oh,
Greg,
I'll ask him. Yeah, I think it's time for us to do our little socialist thing
before you all get into the school year.
I think it'd be
otherwise
good idea.
You won't be able to.
But he might not be in town. But I'll check with him.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. So we might do an interview. We might do something else.
Eric Garner. We have a few. Maybe Epstein. Yeah. We have a list.
Reparations.
Of
we made a list. Yeah. So there's a lot going on. Right. Thank you for listening. I'm Eduardo Barco with Andy Lipson, and check us out on YouTube, iTunes Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, and BitChute. You can find us there on those five platforms, and rate, review, share, and best. Yeah, rate, review, share.
And we like your comments too.
And comments if you would like as well.
And review us on iTunes.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much, and we'll catch you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Ciao.